Our master series is Basic Disciplines for Believers, and we're on the third discipline. Each one is a separate kind of sub-study. So we've looked at, and I've got a review here, Bible saturation. I am filling myself with God's Word. And then discipline number two, continual prayer. I am always talking to God. The third is yielded followership. It's submission to authority is another way to say it, but I think yielded followership kind of grasps the idea. The key passage is in Romans there. Let's read it all together. Do you see that about, it's right under yielded followership key passage. Let's read it out loud together, okay? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Who was the Caesar at that time again? Nero. So understand, it's not assuming perfect or sinless authority, okay? And we'll get into that more as we go. Let me read the paragraph, and then we're going to talk about some Greek words today, all right? That I think are worthy of knowing. One of the most foundational concepts of a believer's growth is to learn the importance of authority and submission. Every relationship created by God has both authority and submission. Learning to submit is fundamental to our proper response to God, to having a godly marriage and raising godly children, to having a biblically functioning congregation, and to our proper response to government and those without. Romans 13 presents the truth that all authority comes from God. To resist authority is to resist God, unless any given authority bypasses God's higher, if you will, ultimate authority. Now let's look at these words here, and then we're just going to give you a summary of where we're going in the weeks to come on the backside here. But there's five words. These are not all the words that have to do with submission or followership, but they're most of them. They're key words. And I'll write them on the board here. And you're familiar with them if you've been around the teaching of the Bible at all. It's not new, but they're similar, but not the same. Macroevolution. Sounds waxing scientific. I'll just write the English form here. Okay, and this one is a verb. A lot of verbs, not all of them, but a lot of verbs in Greek end in an O. Okay, the primary form. So hupotasso. We'll talk about that one in a minute. And then the same word in a noun form is hupotage, okay? That's just the noun form of the same word. We'll get to that one again in a sec. Another pair of words similar is hupakuo. That's another verb, okay? Number four is the noun form of that same word, hupakoe, that's how I pronounce it. And then number five only occurs one time in the Bible, but it's still in a passage that talks about yielding to authority, and it's hupeko, okay? I'm trying to write, yeah, that's an I. And that's a verb also. Okay, so let's talk about these a little more. We're going to divide them up just a little bit. We're actually going to look at the verses that contain these in more detail in the weeks to come. Okay, so let's look at hupotasso and hupotage first. Okay, the word hupo you are very, very familiar with. Are you not? Ever heard of a hypodermic needle? What's a hypodermic needle? Yeah, dermis is skin. Hypo is to go under your skin. That makes sense. So it's a needle that goes under my skin. Isn't medicine really simple after that? You know, they use all these big words like appendicitis, which is just the swelling, you know, the inflammation of your appendix. Why don't they just say that? I don't know. Tonsillitis would be then the swelling of your, I don't know. Maybe they can charge you more. Hupotasso. Hupo is under the beginning of each one of these five words. So hupo. So let's just go right now and write that under. Okay, so hupo is the first part. Under. You might just scribble off the side of the dermic needle or something. Then, this one here, the tasso, comes from, probably doesn't sound like it, but there's a Greek word called tithemi. It's to place, and it takes all kinds of forms. Under, so to place, under, hupotasso simply means to place under. The noun form, so I suppose you can say under placement. I don't know. I like to be consistent on that kind of stuff. Actually, one of the first words you learn in Greek when you study Greek is akouo, and it means to hear. Okay? So the noun form is hupakae. Is it koe? Did I spell that wrong? Yeah. That's an O, not an A. Hopokoe. Under hearing. Let's just call it under hearing. And we can call it maybe under placing. Okay? To be consistent. So, to place under, placing under, to hear under, hearing under. And this echo here is yield. Okay? To yield under, then. Not hard, really, when you start parsing things out. Not hard to grasp. Now, in your notes there, I've got a little more information by each one, I believe. I have to place under, to submit to. For hupotasso, hupotage, it's translated often as submission. Okay. Hupakouo is to listen under and be responsive to. And it's huge, and you'll see that when we get next week into the first area about submitting to God. It's listening to and following. Okay, isn't that a large part of yielding to authority, is paying attention to who's talking and then doing what you're told? Isn't that what we talked about as far as the ultimate meaning of authority, is someone who has the right to tell us what to do? When we would do something different if we were in charge, literally? Okay. And then the last one here is only found in Hebrews 13:17. It's Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have their rule over you and submit yourselves. That's the word, submit yourselves there. The word obey is not in our consideration today. It's not a hupo word. So we'll look at that another time. But it means to yield to or give way. And it's talking about spiritual leaders in the congregation, in the church. Okay. Now, Here's some observations. I think you have to actually write something now. You ready to write? You got a crayon there, buddy? Here's orange. I never use orange. Man, that's good. Left-handed, too, Ted. I'm impressed. Brett Favre would be proud. Wait, he's not on the Packers anymore, is he? Never mind. Never mind. Football, now that's the egg-shaped one, isn't it? Kind of? Okay. All right, observations. Each word of these five involves under. That's the hupo. Yielding or submitting is being under others. So you have to write under two times, right? And this is God's idea and God's requirement. People didn't make this up. They might have distorted it. They might have abused it. They might have mismanaged God's assignment of this. But it's still God's idea. The second bullet here. Each word is something the follower does. The commands are given to the follower. That's one thing that you'll see when we study the concept of yielding to authority, yielded followership. That's why I use the term yielded followership, because it places the emphasis on the person doing the following as the Bible does, rather than the person doing the leading. A husband is never told to make his wife what? Submit. The command is given to the wife. Children are commanded by God to what? Obey their parents. Now, there might be some discussion there about parents causing them to want to obey. Okay, my dad seemed to get that down real well. But the idea of submitting to authorities as far as slaves to masters to government, it's written to the follower. Okay? So that's a huge thing. This is something God requires you and I to do, not for someone to make us do. That changes things. We're easy, like, okay, give it your best shot. See if you can get me off dead center, because I'm not listening unless you can make me. And it's like, that's a totally unbiblical, isn't it not? It doesn't fit. Each word, bullet number three, requires us to willingly yield and follow another. Willingly yield to, the two is in there, willingly yield to and follow another. The concept authority is yield your right to do whatever you want to do, whatever you think is best. You're giving that up. Each word requires us to willingly yield to and follow another. Bullet number four. Each word assumes, I'm going to write these down. Each word assumes disagreement. Disagreement of one of two things. The decision itself, some decision, or some direction. There is no submission when there's agreement. Because you don't have to give anything up, right? Fair? You don't have to give anything up. Oh, I was going to go that way anyway. That's not submission. Each word assumes disagreement of decision or direction. It assumes that we will do something if we were in charge. At a minimum, submission assumes disagreement by virtue of differences of opinions as to what is the best decision or best direction. Listen, the arguments that I have had, for instance, with my own dear wife, have not been because we felt that our views were inferior to the other person. Is that a revelation? When Jane thinks her idea is best, that's when the rub is. And then I'm like thinking, no, I think my idea is slightly better. And then, as it goes, if I don't agree with her, then I'm not listening. Does it progress that way? Because if I would listen, then you would understand and agree with me. That's the logic. And, of course, it's the arrogance of man to blame the woman, right? That's the responsibility in any relationship, though. It's a disagreement by virtue of differences of opinions as to what is the best decision or the best direction. You wouldn't argue if you didn't think your idea was better, right? Smarter, whatever. It can also involve choosing righteousness over sin, but it doesn't necessarily require a choice to sin or not to sin. Okay, usually that's not the case. Submitting to 55 miles an hour is not a choice because the government is sinful in telling me to go 55 or 60 on the freeway. Okay? God didn't say the government can't do that. The government has a right to tell you how fast to drive. You may not agree with it. I told you I used to live in Georgia when I was in the military years ago. It doesn't matter if you're driving across Des Moines, whether it's 55 when you're going downtown or 60, it really doesn't matter much. And you know, the people that pass you like you're sitting still, you kind of see them at the end anyway. And stuff. But when you live in Georgia and you drive 1,100 miles, 5 miles an hour makes all the difference in the world. 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour. That's the difference between arriving home hours before. But it's still, does the government have the right to tell you what to do? The Bible says, yeah. Until you can find a verse that says, you shall, yeah, whatever, you know, then you need to yield to authority. And that's an example of how you do that. The last bullet on the bottom here, each word, it should be presented, is presented as a command. Now think about this. We talked about it could be evil or righteous, and then you should always choose righteous. Okay? Because then it's God's authority as opposed to man's authority. If it's a choice between sinning or not sinning, you choose not to sin. Submission itself, however, is righteousness. Understand that following other people is part of God's righteous plan. Children obeying your parents is righteousness. Obeying your parents is, in essence, obeying God. Because God placed that institution, that authority over us. Obeying our husbands, obeying our bosses, obeying the government is obeying God. So then that changes the way you drive, right? It changes the way you pay your taxes. It changes the way you work at work because obeying them is obeying God. Not yielding then would be, that's the blank there. Yeah, sin. I was going to try to give you a hint. You know, it's a three-letter word, rhymes with win. Kinda. Even if the circumstance or choice does not involve a sinful decision or direction. In other words, it might be the choice of doing this or doing that, and neither matters to God because God does not command either side. But if your parents or your boss or even your husband desires this direction, neither matters to God, it becomes sin if you don't follow your leader. Because God has told us to submit to our leaders. And it's on the shoulders of the follower, right? To follow that. And disobeying one authority is allowed only when one is obeying a higher authority, usually God. Okay? That can get a little confusing, and we're going to kind of explain that a little bit on the back side. Questions so far? This is, I think it's another concept that's largely abandoned in the United States of America because of our mentality of independence. If I don't like it, I leave. And that is not a biblical concept in marriage, in family, for children, in churches, or anything. The Bible is huge as far as following leaders. Should you follow somebody when you disagree with them? Be careful. If you exemplify the fact that I leave someplace because I disagree with them, you are setting yourself up for failure in your family, because you're setting a precedent for that in your marriage, because you're basically, in essence, authenticating grounds for divorce. Government? At what point? I was in Wisconsin, 2 weeks ago? Wisconsin allows fireworks. Now, to me, fireworks don't blow people's fingers off. People blow their own fingers off. You know what I'm saying? And I was so tempted to just load up my car with things that explode, because that's cool. And you know what? My neighbors do it. They think every summer evening is the 4th of July in Missouri, where they allow firecrackers. Okay? And I honestly don't think it's a smart decision. You know, now, remember, after they took away some stuff, but then you could have the snakes. And you can't even buy those anymore. Why? Because you better ban matches and cars and bathtubs, because people drown in those. I mean, just don't stop there. But I don't agree with that law. I think it's ridiculous. And you can buy a gun. And I'm buying guns. I'm good for that. But I'm saying, but firecrackers? It's more dangerous to have receptacles in your wall. Okay? But I wanted to buy fireworks. I mean, stuff that you can't buy here. We can buy sparklers in Iowa. Now, my kids love them, but only because they've never experienced true 4th of July festivity. Okay? But I'm saying, I didn't buy any. You know why? Because it's illegal in Iowa. And I didn't want to teach my kids to defy authority by my example, as bad as I wanted to. Because it's like, you know what? My kids would have loved it. They just would have seen me and seen the incongruity of obeying authority. And it was hard. I could have bought some up there and blown them, but then it's like, what fun is that? Though there are times when I'm weak enough, I would love to just shut off in the middle of winter, where it's totally unexpected, a huge amount of firecrackers down the street where my neighbors live. I won't, because the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself, not love them the way they love you. So. And I usually don't call the cops when someone's blowing firecrackers. I just can't do it myself. Okay, let's look at the back side now. Lots of little areas, right? Now, this is where we're going in the next many weeks. But we're looking at realms of yielded followership, realms of submitting to authority. Now, I've broken these up in four areas, and you can break them up in many ways. But if you can look there, how many other? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 subpoints. When you usually talk about submission, all the wives, and I'm not saying this in any kind of facetious manner, but they almost sink inside and they roll their eyes, because everyone thinks that it's just for women who are married to very imperfect men, which is all women that are married, right? And it's not, because submission is in every realm of life. Every one of us, whether we're man, woman, child, have multiple levels that we submit to. It's not just the woman thing. We just, for some reason, just talk about the women thing. And it's biblical, but it's just one of many. Okay? Let's look at these here, and then we'll draw the... I'm going to draw a picture. Wish I had orange, but... Thanks, Ted. Okay, does that look kind of like your chart? See, now, when I threw like that the other day, I said, I throw like a girl, don't I, Jeff? Jeff Good was a quarterback. And he goes, no, you don't throw like a girl. My little daughter could throw better than that. So I'm not sure. And I made it to him, so I don't know what you throw like. A worm or something? Yeah, offense to girls. So anyway, these are just summary points. We're going to go through these, what the Bible says about them, but we're just giving you the high altitude overview of four general areas as I have categorized them, okay? The first one is letter A. The area is the believer's God, word, submission, responsibility. So, God, word. Yeah. Ward? Is that right? Yeah, God word. Ward. The ward of God. Not the word, the ward. Okay? My spell checker didn't like God word. Okay, and there's two areas that generally are in that realm. One, believers are to submit to God. And believers are to be obedient to the truth, which is in essence what God has said. Okay? Maybe, and that's a better way to say that. Why do I have this in the big circle? I'll come back to that. Let's come back to that. Okay, because we'll talk about that. Letter B. A believer's family submission responsibility. Notice there's two. I suppose you can argue three, but I'm just using where the word, one of these hoopa words is specifically used. Wives are to be subject to their own husbands, and children are to submit to parents. And in some places, parents are to have their children in submission. The Bible speaks of that. So I kind of gave you that caveat when we said normally it's to the follower. You're not making somebody follow you. Parents would be a different understanding, though, the children are still to learn to obey of their own accord. And that's not a Honda, Ted. Letter C, believers, church submission responsibilities. I don't like the word church. Not because I don't like the word church, but most people think buildings, and the church is not a building, right? You assemble with the church. You don't go to church in the technical sense of the term. But I use it for lack of a better term. If I use assembly, a lot of people don't understand that, but that's probably my favorite word for that. Five areas in the church, realm of the church, that use these hoopo words. Believers are to submit to spiritual leaders. It means you follow when you don't agree. Do you ever leave when you disagree? There may be times, but that is not your first choice. That is your last. Okay. Number two, younger. The younger are to submit to the elder. That's in first. Younger submit to your older. Okay. That's within the church. It might be young people submitting to older people. The context, it might be younger leaders submitting to older leaders. Okay, we'll talk about that when we get there. Letter three. Number three, believers are to submit to those devoted to service. Did you know you're commanded to submit to those that are devoted to serving other people? That's what the Bible commands you and I to do. You're to find people that, hey, they're really serving God. How can I help you? Oh, you need help with this? I'll be glad to. People that kind of lead the pack and getting done. And it isn't necessarily an official position that you're submitting to there. Number four, women are to learn in silence with all submission. That's the word submission there. So that's we throw that. And that seems to be within the congregation. We'll talk about that. Yeah, that's a popular radio talk show topic. Not, especially probably those that are women teachers, huh? Number five, believers are to submit to one another. What is that? Ephesians 5:21, somewhere around. The last one here, last area, and these could easily be broken up, but I just called it the believer's outward responsibilities. These are just basic realms. So God's realm, the realm of the family, realm of the church, and the kind of the outward people, beyond the family, beyond the church. Okay? Now, notice your... Let's make a couple observations here. You might want to scribble to the side one way or the other. God, the circle, is all-encompassing. A lot of times you see God over here, family, you know, whatever, God up above. Why would that be inaccurate? Yeah, it doesn't include everything. And who established each of these? Who's the ultimate authority in every realm? Yeah, see, God is the authority in the family. The guys thought, oh, I thought I was. No. And the church, you know, God's the ultimate authority in the church. Oh, I thought the pastor was. I thought the congregation was. Like, no. Okay, it's not majority rule in a church. What Bible are you reading? All in favor of sin, say aye. All in favor of going back to Egypt, the ayes have it. Right? Majority rule. It's in the Bible, just not in a good way. And then outward. The Bible talks to those that are masters and says, you have a master in heaven. It's like, oh, I thought the boss was... I'm Lynn's boss at work. But I'm not the boss. I've got bosses over me. How many bosses do we have, Lynn? 30, 40? Everyone's our boss. But they're not the boss either. Guess what? God is ultimately the one who gives authority, right? So, and this gives the idea, too, that guess what? Even though you're in charge, God is the ultimate authority. So, parents, when we instruct our children, it's in the Lord. Husbands, when we lead our family, it's in the Lord. Okay? It's as God wants, not what we want. God never said, men, you lead as you want. Did he? Children, or parents, you lead as you want. Pastors, you just do what feels good. Bosses, never, in any level. Governors, you just lead the way you want. Never. God has never said anything like that. He has ultimate authority. And that's why when you see in the Bible, for example, government / religious authority, Acts 4, the Sanhedrin, who was the religious but also the governmental body of the Jews, they said, you may not preach in the name of Jesus. And what did they say? Oh, okay. What did they say? The apostles. Yeah, they did it twice. They were beaten too, by the way. And they didn't build up a resistance army and fight the Sanhedrin, and that would be our thing to do: lead the pack, lead a rebellion. It's like there may be times when you have to do that, where there's some kind of legitimacy, but normally that's not the case. You know, rebellion is as what? Sin of witchcraft. That's what the devil started that. It's devilish to go against authority. And we've mentioned, by the way, every authority that you're under apart from God is what? Sinful. Imperfect. They're not going to measure up. They're not going to know everything they're going to need to know. They're not always going to have good intentions. They're not going to... And guess what? God gave every one of these commands after man fell in the garden. God knew that. And he thinks it's a good idea. Okay? So, all of these are under God's... What about the overlap? Do you see the overlap there? We're going to... Somewhere along the line, we're going to talk about jurisdiction. What is a jurisdiction? These are not jurisdictions where you see them right now, to some degree or another. they're too general to be jurisdictions. But yeah, your realm of authority. Let me ask you this. Can I tell you how fast to drive? Well, and you would say, well, it depends. Do you know what I do for a living?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't have anything to do with how fast people drive, so you're safe. But I'm saying, if I was a police officer, can I tell you how fast to drive? In reality, a police officer doesn't either. He enforces the law, but still, that's his realm of jurisdiction, to apply authority. Okay? But at the same time, the reason there's an overlap, say this outward one, are there times when men other than governments can tell you how fast to drive? You ever rent a U-Haul? You contract them to rent this trailer, this truck. Usually it's a trailer. And, you know, and I usually, the reason I know it so much is I see people passing me with these trailers that say, must drive 55 miles an hour. So, you know, you made an agreement with the U-Haul thing that you would drive only this fast. I have no idea why. I mean, are they that junky that they can't handle the speed? You know, they're just going to start piecing out. And, you know, I have no idea, but I don't know if they do anymore. But I'd say, driving 50 miles. It's like, yeah, and I would see it, and not in my rearview mirror, but in front of you. It's like, maybe they add 100. Or what if you're an employer that has to do with transportation, and you tell, you know, the government doesn't have jurisdiction in our parking lot about driving. We could put a sign up. You wouldn't get any speed up, so there's no need. But the idea of how fast you could drive in our parking lot, could we put a parking sign up, or a speed sign, speed limit sign, that's what I'm trying to say, and tell you 5 miles an hour. You know, and we would be having people wreck because they would try to get up to five. But I'm saying there's realms there. If you're in a transportation and you're a delivery company and say, I don't care what the speed limit is, 55 is your max, then there's an authority there that because they employ you, they have the right to tell you how fast to drive. That might be more limiting than the government. How about parents? Let me ask you this. Is it okay to play in the street? As far as I know, it is. I think it's legal. You know, by and large, as long as you're not impeding traffic or whatever. But my parents were cruel and unusual because they didn't let me play in the street, especially when I was younger. Like, well, who? You're not the government. You don't own that. I didn't ever tell them. I would not tell my dad that. But I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? If we follow our logic at times, like, you're not my boss. And it's like, as a matter of fact, I am your boss. You know, in certain jurisdictions. In other jurisdictions, I'm not. But my parents had every right, because they were my parents, not because they were the government, to tell me, you don't go on the street because you might die. And if you go on the street, you will die. Because if the car doesn't hit you, you'll wish you're dead, you know. I have very loving parents, so please don't take anything away. They were disciplinarians. My dad was, but it was a good discipline. I never felt it was if anything, he didn't quite go far enough at times, you know, for me. But finally thinking, you know, I wish he would have just pushed me a little more, you know. So that's a good thing. Loving parents. But I'm saying that overlap there, okay? Parents have the right to make rules for their house that the government doesn't place. They don't make me go to bed at 11 o'clock. The government doesn't care when you go to bed. They care if you're bothering your neighbor, right? Yeah, could be a number of things, you know. Persistent bothering will generate a phone call, but not otherwise. But those are that. So understand there's jurisdictions of responsibility and authority there. And at the same time, notice this outward, the government has some influence over our church. We can't park in the middle of the street. We're a church.
separation of church and state,
by the way, is totally bogus, but I'll let you look that up. But you can't park in the middle of the street.
We're a church. We can do whatever we want.
No, you can't. Because when you get to the street, it's not you anymore. It's the government's jurisdiction.
Well, they're persecuting us.
No, we're being stupid at that point. And that's not persecution. Now, there's times when the government persecutes people, and that's wrong. And it's getting, every day you're reading where we're losing that battle in the United States. But folks, just because someone tells you what to do is not persecution. They have rights to tell you what to do. We don't pay taxes. We don't take property taxes. That's a government. That's part of the, if you have the right to tax, you have the right to control. It's a money thing. It's a whose jurisdiction. The government is telling to think who to what to say, who can preach or that's the control factor. But guess what? We are required because it's a facility to have to meet certain. Why? Because that's their jurisdiction. It's a government safety thing. Okay? Each one of these is a different realm, and so they overlap some. And the bottom line question is, if you have an issue of authority, is whose jurisdiction? Let's get back to Acts 4. The apostles say, should we obey God or man? The first time, okay? And they were released. And the second time, Peter said, no, we will obey God rather than man. Notice they still got beaten. It doesn't liberate you from wrong authority. It just, you yield to the higher authority. They continued to preach in the name of Jesus. They were beaten for it. They yielded to the authority still. And we used one other illustration that we're using over and over again, and we're going to look at in detail when we get to it, is Jesus submitted to Pilate. Who is the highest authority? God. Jesus is God, right? Still? That hasn't changed, right, at all? No, he is. And yet, Pilate goes, don't you know who I am? Pretty much. That's pretty. Don't you know who, if you knew who I am, don't you know who I am? I could crush you. And Jesus said, you know what? You would not have any authority unless God gave it to you. And then Jesus allowed Pilate to be the coward of a government leader and turned Jesus over to the religious leadership to be crucified. Which, by the way, all the way through was unfair, unwarranted, illegal, and all of the above. Jesus was put to death wrongfully, correct? And yet, the Bible uses him in 1 Peter 2 as the illustration. You be like him when you come before authorities. You place yourself in the hands of the ultimate authority in those situations rather than fight against the authority that God placed over you. Okay. Questions or comments? Go ahead, Valerie.
In that situation with Jesus, in their power structure or authority structure, did the law, did the Pilate and King Herod, did they have authority over the religious leaders?
Yes. They had to get permission from Rome. Outlawed them the liberty to put people to death on their own. So they actually had to get approval from Pilate to put Jesus to death.
He
made the decision. He found no fault in him. He said that to everybody. He's responsible. But then also the religious leaders were also responsible because they were a form of government too, kind of a theocracy of sorts. If you don't follow God, is it still a theocracy even though it's a religious group or something? But they were also responsible. It wasn't like it was just Pilate's fault. Because they pursued it, and then they followed through with it. So, but yeah, Pilate could have let him go. And instead he said, I'm not responsible. It's like, so you wash your hands and you're not responsible? Don't tell my kids that at my house. I wash my hands. I don't have to do dishes. I'm not responsible. I wash my hands of this. I don't have to make my bed. I don't know, somehow that was magic to Pilate, he thought. Other questions or comments? We'll get into it more. There's huge passages. I told you 1 Peter 2:18 to the end of the chapter, and then it goes into women, wives yielding to their husbands and so on, using Jesus as the example. So even if husbands who don't know the word, oh, you're supposed to yield to people that don't even know the word. Wow. So, okay, so we're just getting started. Ted got to color some today. And just introducing it here, we're going to start next week on the Godward part. We're going to look at that full section, okay, and discuss that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for your goodness and your greatness as far as teaching us your word. Lord, it is not hard to see as we study the Bible that your ways are not our ways, and that the Bible says that we're not to lean on our own understanding and all our ways are to acknowledge you, because we simply wouldn't think this way. We are laden with the sin of pride. We don't like to follow. Lord, you even have following within the Godhead. What an amazing illustration of your perfect plan of structured leadership in every relationship. We just thank you and ask you would help us to learn this. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks a lot.